on today's program with Pastor Nate Gallagher.
So we watch people and they're like, how in the world is that happening? Well, what happens is they get peace that surpasses understanding, and we don't understand it, but they've got that peace. And so Paul's in prison and they're looking like, how are you doing this, Paul? Like, what's going on? What are we missing? And Paul says, don't worry about me. God has supplied what I need. God's given me what I need. You focus on what God's doing in you.
This is Middle Ground Radio with Pastor Nate Gallagher. If we're being honest, life gets hard. With pressures at work or just stuff going on at home, there are tons of things that can cause us to feel like our joy is being taken away. Let's join Pastor Nate through the book of Philippians as we learn how we can have joy through those tough circumstances in a new series, Joy Out Loud.
All right, well, we are in our second week of our series, Joy Out Loud. And in this series, we're learning how to have joy beyond our circumstances. Because the world, most people think that joy comes from our situations around us. That when life is good, that means we can have joy. And when life is bad, that means joy is absent. But how are we supposed to be happy when life is hard? How are we supposed to smile when things aren't going right? And so what happens is our world thinks that joy is conditional, that joy is circumstantial, that joy can only happen based upon what's going on around you. And we're learning that joy doesn't come from being in good situation. Joy comes from being in Christ. Joy doesn't come from your situations around you. Joy doesn't come from your circumstances. Joy comes from knowing and having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And last week we began this series by talking about that this sort of feeling or this sort of perspective, because that's what it is, it's a perspective, not a feeling, because sometimes even when we don't feel joy, we can have joy. Even times when we don't feel happy, we can have joy beyond that. And so what we learned last week is that this is something that we may not all feel or see right away. That this type of joy, we may not experience it. Like, we're at church and we're like, yeah, that sounds amazing. Joy beyond our circumstances. That's incredible. And then life gets hard and you're like, yeah, I don't really feel it. Like, I'm sad. This is hard. This is difficult. This is frustrating. I don't really feel this joy beyond like you're talking about. And so what we talked about last week is that God wants to work into us this type of joy. That God is working this in us and he won't stop. Paul began, the author of this book, he began by saying that he is confident that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. That God has begun this work in your heart and in your life. As soon as you place faith in Jesus Christ, a work has begun in you and God is transforming you and he is growing you and he's helping you understand this idea of joy. Because right now it's like, I don't really feel it. God's working in you and he's not done yet. He's going to keep working on you and he won't stop. Now we're learning these principles, this joy out loud idea from the book of Philippians, which is one of the most explosive and joy-filled books in the New Testament. And we began last week by talking about how this book was written from a prison cell. That the Apostle Paul is writing this literally in chains. And the reason he's in prison was because he was preaching the gospel. So he's doing things right, and yet he's being punished for it. You ever been there? Doing something right, and you're punished for it? You're like, No. That was her. That was not me. Like being punished for doing things right. Paul is in prison for doing what God had called him to do. And the Apostle Paul, he's writing, and even though nothing good is going on around him, he's got joy inside of him. He's got perspective. He's got purpose even in the middle of it, because faith in Christ allows that to happen. Faith in Christ allows you to have purpose and joy beyond what's going on around you. Now, tonight, the Apostle Paul, he's going to tell us how we should live in order to experience this type of joy. How are we supposed to live in order for us to experience this type of joy? Because I think if we're honest, all of us want this joy and very few of us can find it. All of us want to have this type of purpose in the middle of pain, but reality says that when pain comes, we don't have purpose. We just have a whole lot of pain. And so how do we live in order to experience this type of purpose, this type of joy? Beginning in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 1, I'll read it to you. If you can't find it or if you don't feel like looking, it'll all be on the screen. It says this, but I, this is Paul writing, want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Pause for just a moment. Paul, up until this point, he has only talked about them. He opened his letter. He said, what's up, guys? It's me, Paul, and my boy Timothy. We're writing to you from prison. And he says, he immediately transitioned. He says, I thank my God every single time I think about you because God's doing something in you. Now, the Philippians were concerned for Paul. The Philippians were friends with Paul. They did stuff with Paul. They even sent him money to help him when he was in a different situation in life. And so they were friends, and they were concerned for their friend. They had heard that the great apostle Paul was in prison. And they're like, man, this is crazy. What's going to happen to the gospel? Like, the gospel was making these incredible advances in the world, into Europe. And now all of a sudden, this great missionary, the great Bible teacher, Paul, is in prison. And they're concerned for their friend. And so Paul, he writes to them, and the whole first part of the book, he's not even talking about a situation. He's trying to encourage them not to be discouraged because he's in prison. That's how he starts. He's like, don't worry about me, I'm fine. Like, God's doing something in you. And so the whole beginning, he's talking about them. But then he's like, I got to at least let people know what's going on with me. That's why I'm writing this letter. They're concerned for me because I'm in prison. So let me bring up how I'm doing in prison. And he says, guys, I got to let you know that the things that have happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He's like, you guys are all concerned about me, but what you need to understand is that in this situation, God's using me. You're all frustrated or confused or discouraged by what's going on to me. And he's like, you got to know that God is using it. It's become evident to the whole palace guard that my chains are in Christ. In other words, he's saying Rome is not imprisoning him. He's not in prison to Rome. He says, my chains are in Christ, meaning God is going to use me right here, right now, because Rome isn't the final authority. Jesus is the final authority. And if God wants me in prison, then I'm going to be in prison and the gospel's going to get preached in prison. That's what Paul's saying. And then he says, verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. You see, their problem, their concern was the great apostle Paul was now chained up. He couldn't go anywhere. And so they were thinking that the message of Paul had been stopped. And he's saying, you guys are confused. The gospel is the message. It's not the message of Paul. It's the message of Jesus. And he's saying, so me being in prison, that doesn't matter because the message is still going to happen. And then he brings up these other people that are preaching the gospel with wrong motives. He's saying other people, they're concerned with advancing their own name. Other people, they're concerned with that. He says, my chains are in Christ. The gospel's still being advanced. It doesn't matter where I'm at. The gospel's still going forth. And he says, these other guys, they're doing it for selfish ambitions. And he says, well, some of them are, they have good intentions. There's people out there that are preaching the gospel. But then listen to this verse. He says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. He's saying, basically, some people are preaching the gospel with wrong motives, but at the end of the day, the gospel is being preached. He's saying, yeah, technicalities. You know, they've got wrong motives. Their reason for serving is not quite right. Their reason for going on the mission trip wasn't quite right. Their reason for wanting to go Salt wasn't quite right. But the gospel's still being preached. But God's still at work. And he says, yeah, the motives aren't right, but God deals with the motives, not man. God takes care of those things. We look at what's happening. The gospel's being preached. And then he goes on, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. What confidence does Paul have? There he is in prison, has no idea the outcome. He says, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Ready for this? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. I've called this message tonight, to live and die. To live and die. And that's basically what Paul is giving to us here. He's talking about how he lives, and he talks about how he's gonna die. Now, Paul begins by giving an explanation of how he's doing. Remember, the people in Philippi, they were concerned for Paul because he was in prison. And so he encourages them that God's in control and that God is working things out. Sometimes you'll watch, especially if you grow up in church or you're around the things of church or watch other believers, sometimes you'll watch people go through incredibly difficult things and not understand how they're able to go through them. I've gone through experiences like that where I'm watching friends of mine or family members go through incredibly difficult things, and they're doing so with faith, they're doing so with purpose, they're doing so despite their pain, and I'm watching as an innocent bystander going, how in the world are they able to do that? How could somebody experience that and still preach Jesus? How could somebody go through that and still have joy and find contentment and go have, how could they do that? And what you'll see is that God supplies to people that are experiencing that type of pain with his Spirit, that he doesn't supply the same strength and purpose to the people watching. God didn't give me the same amount of faith and spirit as I'm watching somebody else go through pain. He would give me what I needed for what I'm going through. But sometimes as you watch, you can't understand because there's peace that surpasses understanding that's given to people that need it. So we watch people and they're like, how in the world is that happening? Well, what happens is they get peace that surpasses understanding, and we don't understand it, but they've got that peace. And so Paul's in prison, and they're looking like, how are you doing this, Paul? Like, what's going on? What are we missing? And Paul says, don't worry about me. God has supplied what I need. God's given me what I need. You focus on what God's doing in you. God is working. And so God gives people faith and strength to go through things that the observers could never understand. And Paul encourages them that God has given him faith to keep going. But Paul also gives them and us the perspective that we need in order to have joy in the middle of difficulty. And I believe what Paul says in our text tonight is the key to unlock everything we're going to talk about in this series. That the perspective that Paul has in our text tonight is what allows us to experience the joy out loud that we see in this book. And if we miss the perspective, and if we don't have this perspective, I really believe that we miss out on the joy that God wants us to have. That if we miss the perspective that Paul talks about in our text, if we aren't living the way that Paul brings up in this text, we're going to miss out on everything else in this series and everything else that God wants to give us because we missed out on this key principle. And what he says is tucked away in verse 21 where he says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul says, for to me, what you have to understand is what I'm going through right now, my life is for Christ. And he says, for me to die is gain. This is the perspective in order to have joy. Without this perspective, what happens to you will control you. Because your circumstances overshadow your purpose. If you don't have this perspective, if you don't say, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, if you don't have that perspective, then what happens to you will absolutely control you. You'll say, I'm going through difficulty, I'm going through frustration, I'm going through hard times, and so that is my emotion, that is my feeling while I go through this. But if you change your perspective and say, for to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain, then no matter what happens to you, it can't control you because your life is surrendered to Jesus. When this is your perspective, you can find the purpose. We're going to break down what this perspective actually means for us. The first point tonight is to live is Christ. To live is Christ. What does it mean to live is Christ? Basically, what he's saying is that his life, everything he does, everywhere he goes, is going to be for the glory of Jesus Christ. He says, for me, my life, it is equal to Christ. Not in his perfection, not in his ability, not in anything like that. But he views his life as saying, my life is Christ's. My life belongs to Christ, and everything I do at the end of the day is for Christ and for the glory of Christ. Basically, he's saying is his life is sold out for Jesus. And he shows us what happens and what it means when you live a sold out life for Jesus. To live as Christ means joy and purpose in pain. Well, what does that mean? As you live, to live as Christ, what that means is that you will have joy and purpose in pain. Again, verse 12, but I want you to know, brethren, that the things which have happened to me, he says, have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. The things that have happened to him have actually turned out for good. Paul has found purpose in his prison cell. Paul looks at this and he says, okay, I'm in prison. That's obvious. Now, what am I going to do about it? And rather than living his whole time in prison trying to figure out a way out, he said, okay, here I am. What does God want to do in me and through me while I'm here? Paul, his total perspective in prison changed. And listen, when our life is sold out for Christ, you can find opportunity even in opposition. Notice that he says that the things that happened to him, it wasn't the things that happened by him. These were totally outside of his control. He knew that God showed up to him one day and says, you are a chosen vessel of mine that you're going to go and preach the message to the Gentiles. Paul knows that, and he's doing that. He's living his life doing that, and now he's in prison, and he's like, hello? Let me check my journal, go back to the date, Damascus Road, here it is, entry. All right, I'm a chosen vessel of God to preach them. Okay, got it. Here I am in prison doing what God asked me to do. The things that have happened to him. It was all beyond his control, but Paul didn't spend his time trying to cast blame or get out of the situation. We know people like that, right? As soon as something bad happens, we got to blame somebody else. It was their fault. They did it. This is why I'm here. This is why I'm going through. It's because that person forgot to do this and that, and we blame. And Paul's like, the thing that happened, it happened. It's in the past, it happened, but they've actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. He looked for opportunity in it. He realized that his imprisonment brought him to a place that he could not otherwise go to. Think about that. The gospel has now infiltrated a whole new part of the world that Paul had no plans or intentions on going to. Paul was not planning on doing prison ministry. Paul had another plan. But Paul, through the circumstances, through situations, ends up in prison. And he goes, here I am. Okay, God, how do you want to use me here? And he says, it's become evident to the whole palace guard. The guards are getting saved. The other prisoners are getting saved. Because Paul's perspective was, okay, this is what happened, but this doesn't control me. God's got a purpose here and now. And so God begins to use him. The gospel is still advancing, even though Paul isn't. Paul's tied down, but the gospel is still going. Pain brings purpose to places that you wouldn't otherwise go. When you go through difficulty, you can relate to somebody else that goes through difficulty. I've talked to many of you guys that maybe your parents have gone through divorce. And then because of that difficulty, you're able to relate to somebody else that's gone through that. Yeah, no, we don't want to go through that. We don't wish that upon anybody. But when it happens, we find purpose in it, and now we can be a blessing to somebody else. The pain doesn't define me. The frustration, that doesn't define me. God, this happened. This is my reality now. But God, you have given me purpose in it. And I'm going to find a way to bless somebody else. Rather than looking for a way out, we can look for a way to be used. But this can only happen when you're living for Christ. Paul's goal was to advance the gospel. He wasn't trying to advance himself. If he was trying to advance himself, being in prison would be the worst. But because he is living for Christ, the gospel is still being advanced. So he has found joy and purpose in the prison cell. Now, not only did he find purpose in the prison to the people around him, but also to the people beyond the prison cell. It was in this prison cell that Paul wrote the book we're studying, but also he wrote Ephesians and Colossians. Think about that for a second. Some of the three best books in the Bible, if we can say that, with some of the most incredible, inspiring passages of Scripture are written from this prison cell. What if Paul wasn't in prison? What if he was busy preaching the gospel? What if churches were being started? What if thousands and thousands of people were getting saved? And Paul didn't have time to sit down and write these books. What would we be talking about right now? Those churches would have come and gone. Those people would have come and gone. But God saw Paul and said, okay, we're going to trap you for a little bit because in this prison cell, you're going to write some of the greatest portions of Scripture for young people in 2017 to study and have their whole world changed and perspective changed because they can have joy beyond their circumstances. If it wasn't for that prison cell, we wouldn't have had this book. And so we can look at this and go, okay, God, you want to use my difficulty for your glory. There is purpose and joy even in pain, but only when to live is Christ. Secondly, to live is Christ means identity in Christ. To live is Christ means identity in Christ. Verse 13 says, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. It has become evident that Paul's chains are in Christ. The word evident, it's pretty apparent. It means apparent, right? Evident is pretty obvious. It means apparent or known. That's the idea. It has become known to the whole palace guard where Paul's chains are. Paul is saying that everyone around him knows who he is and what he stands for. Now pause for just a moment. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel, correct? Paul didn't like vandalize anything. Paul didn't steal something. Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. You would think, this would be me, you would think that he would want to keep this under wraps so maybe he could get out sooner. Right? If you're still doing the thing in prison, the thing that got you in prison, don't you think you're going to spend a little bit more time in prison? Like, what are you here for? I murdered a guy. Have you stopped? Nope. Well, then buckle up, buddy. You're going to be here a while. Like Paul, here he is in prison for preaching the gospel, and he's doing the same thing that got him there to begin with. If it were me, I'd be like, I'm just going to head down, keep quiet, not going to say anything, do anything. Maybe I'll get time off for good behavior. because I wasn't preaching the gospel. But he wants everyone to know who he is. He says, it's become evident. It is obvious. Like, people see me and they know what I'm about. Prisoners, guards, it doesn't matter. They see me and they know. It is evident to everybody around me what I'm about. To live is Christ means that we're going to make it known that we follow Jesus.
And we sing glory, glory in the highest, highest. You are worthy, worthy. Hail from Zion, Zion. We sing glory.
Thanks again for tuning in to Middle Ground Radio. We pray that this message has blessed you and your relationship with Christ. And if you'd like more information about all that's going on here, check us out online at middlegroundradio.com or follow Pastor Nate on Instagram at Nate M. Gallagher. Have a blessed week and join us next time here on Middle Ground Radio.